Mark 10. I'm going to begin reading at verse 46 and read through verse 52, the end of the chapter. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can gather in this place and study your word. Please open up our ears and our hearts to see the beauty of a blind beggar calling out to Jesus for mercy. May you do that work in us too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to give you 2 minutes with the instructions, tell me in one sentence what happens in this story, I think you would probably come up with a statement like this: Jesus heals a blind beggar. Pretty simple, right? Maybe if you had another minute, you might just add on to it, and that blind beggar followed Jesus. Simple. And if you were reading this gospel in your morning quiet time with the Lord, you may think to yourself, "Well, that's nice that Jesus did that," and then you would just continue on and start reading in chapter 11. You would just move right on through that. But if you were to pause for a minute and begin to think things over, I do think some questions would begin to form in your minds. Questions like this: why did Mark feel the need to tell us about this particular blind man? Why him? Of all the people that Jesus healed, right? And there were a lot of people that Jesus healed. Most of them would have just been lumped under the statement, "And Jesus healed many." We don't know their names. We don't know their faces. We don't know their conditions. But this man, we do. We actually get his name. I don't think there's anywhere else in Mark's gospel where you get a man's name. But we're told here that this was Bartimaeus. It seems that Mark wants us to see something about this man in this place as Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem during the time that he is teaching his disciples, those who follow him, about what it means to go to the cross. What does it mean to follow Jesus? There's something about Bartimaeus that tells us that. Mark wants us to see something in him about discipleship. He is not a random insert in the story of Jesus, but rather Jesus wants us to see something of our story in him. So, what can we learn from Bartimaeus? First, it's important to recognize that he's blind. He's blind, and that is obvious, right? Pretty clear in the story. That's really the main thing in the story. That's what he gets healed of. That's what he wants Jesus to give him mercy for. But there is more going on here than just his physical blindness. His inability to see is something that tells us about the condition also of the disciples themselves. So Mark is not just telling us about a physical healing, he's telling us about the process of spiritual healing here in this man. This story right here is a bookend to Mark's section, the broader section that when he is teaching on discipleship, a section that began when the disciples first started to see, when they first got some sight into who Jesus was. Peter made the confession back in chapter 8 that Jesus is the Christ. And all 8 chapters up to that point led up to the answer to the question, who is this man? Who is this man? They didn't understand who he was. Peter makes that statement. That is the first sight that crept into these people's hearts. He is the Christ. That's who he is. And so that's where they started their journey of discipleship. There was some clarity there to who this man actually was. And now they needed to be taught, what is this Savior all about? And what does it mean now to follow him? So that's what Mark spends these last few chapters doing, teaching them about discipleship and what that looks like. But let's not think that when those disciples made that confession, that they could see clearly. They didn't receive all their sight then. Peter just said the right thing in that moment. He just so happened to hit the bullseye with bent sights. He shot true, but he was crooked in the way that he was doing that. And I mentioned that Bartimaeus here is a bookend. And so just before Peter makes that confession, there is another healing that takes place right before that. Do you remember what it was? Do you remember that healing? It was another man who was blind too. Coincidence? I don't think so. Mark is using these healings to teach us what is happening in those disciples way back then. And he's also teaching us something about ourselves today. The first healing, by the way, was the man that Jesus heals in 2 stages. Do you remember that? Jesus takes some spit, he rubs it on the man's eyes and says to him, "What do you see? Are you able to see?" And the man responds, "I see men like trees walking." I mean, this is the only place anywhere in the Gospels that Jesus does not just heal the person right there. He heals him in 2 stages. Jesus then rubs some more spit on the guy's eyes, and now he's able to see clearly. Do we think that Jesus just didn't have enough power the first time when he's rubbing this spit on there? Hey, did I give you enough? That's not what's happening. He's telling us something about discipleship. There is an initial point when disciples are beginning to be able to see, but they cannot see clearly. And that is what is happening there with Peter when he makes that confession. Sight comes in, a little bit of sight, but in a way he sees Jesus like trees walking, blurry. And so as they continue to follow Jesus along the way, they're just seeing in a very blurry fashion. So all of Mark's teaching here on discipleship, as Jesus is making his way to the cross, is enclosed on both sides by him healing blind men, which is not just a physical problem for those particular individuals, but a spiritual problem that Jesus is healing in the lives of these men who were following him way back then, but also the way that Jesus is healing people right here today. He continues to give us sight. And isn't that what you kind of pray for at times? That's what I pray for. God, give me light. Give me sight. Give me the ability to see here what is going on and how I am to act right now in a way that pleases Jesus. Give me eyes to see. But Bartimaeus isn't just blind. That's the first thing that we need to see. He's a blind man, but what else does Mark tell us about him? He's a beggar. He can't earn a living because of his blindness. He can't care for himself. He's been reduced to a position where he must ask others to support him. He is not self-sufficient. This man is not independent. He is the very picture of a man who is dependent on others for his survival. He has to ask constantly. Surely this man has been humbled. Every day he does not know what is going to be dropped at his feet as he sits on the roadside begging. Doesn't know what he's going to take home. He just has to ask continually again and again. And his ears have been trained to listen for approaching footsteps. His voice is at the ready always when he hears somebody close by so that he can ask them for alms for the poor. Please give to me because I don't have. A beggar is a man who does not have, who cries out to other people for what they do have. A beggar is dependent on the mercy of another to give. Notice also where this story begins for Bartimaeus, where he's at. We're told that he was beside the road. He was by the roadside. This was probably his usual position. He probably took this post day in and day out. He sat there waiting for people to travel past him because the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, it was a well-traveled path. But on this particular day, something unusual happens. He hears a great crowd. Not just a few people, a great crowd coming down the road. And it was the time for God's people to go up to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. But it seems here that there was an unusual amount of people doing that together. And surely Bartimaeus, there as he is sitting and he is listening by the roadside, he starts to wonder, why is it that so many people are coming down this road right now? And whether he hears somebody say it, or he asks somebody what's going on, he finds out that it is Jesus of Nazareth that is walking past, and that is why there is such a collection of people coming down this road. And we don't know all that this man Bartimaeus knew about Jesus, but it was enough to make this beggar beg. Look at what it says in verse 47. It says that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, begging, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus was told that the reason for the large crowd was Jesus of Nazareth. But notice what he does not do here. He does not cry out for who? He doesn't cry out for Jesus of Nazareth. That's the one that's coming past. Jesus of Nazareth is coming. So it seems natural that he would say, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. But he doesn't. What does he say? He calls out for Jesus, Son of David, to have mercy on him. Why does that matter? Because it tells us that there is something that this blind man can see. He knows that Jesus is not just a regular man. He is not just Jesus of Nazareth, a miracle worker, a prophet, a celebrity. Somehow, some way, he believes that Jesus is the promised son of David. He believes what Peter says back there in chapter 8, that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that the Old Testament was pointing to, who would come and save his people. It would be a son of David. And Bartimaeus is expressing that faith right there as he begs for Jesus to give him mercy. And as he cries out, what does the crowd do? What is their response? I think it's probably what we would expect a crowd to do. They told this blind beggar to shut up. The great man has no time for people like you, Bartimaeus. You don't matter. Why don't you just stay right there on the roadside while Jesus is passing by? Don't distract him. Don't pull him away from the great things that he is doing. He does not have time for people like you. Stop being a nuisance. But Bartimaeus knew that this was his only chance. How often would the Messiah come walking through his town and he happened to be sitting at that roadside? Chances are pretty slim that that is going to happen again. He does not care what the crowd says. He cries out all the more. Isn't that something? I'm sure that you've been in a great crowd before, just like Jesus was here. You've got all the voices, all the people raising their voices. You can't distinguish very well what's going on from here to there, all the noises. But here in the middle of all of that crowd noise, what happens? Jesus hears the pleas of that blind man for mercy. And the hope of blind, begging Bartimaeus hinges on what we see in verse 49. What do you see there that happens? Jesus stopped. In the middle of all that crowd noise, all the people that are wanting his attention, Jesus hears somewhere over there on the edges, on the roadside, a man pleading, "Son of David, have mercy on me." His ears are attentive to his cry, and he stops. There is good news in those words right there. He heard this man clearly. He stops, and he says to all that crowd around him, "Call him." And they don't have to ask, "Who are you talking about?" Because they probably knew, "Oh, you mean that guy. Ah, all right." And they call Bartimaeus. And that same crowd that had just told this man to shut up must now tell him that he should take heart because Jesus wants to see him. The fickle crowd. Never presented very well in the Gospel of Mark. This is what crowds are like. They shift like the weather in Buffalo, don't they? They're fickle. Take heart, Jesus will see you now. And amazingly, the picture that Mark paints here is the scene of this man, this blind man. We don't know how swift and how agile he really was on every day or in everyday occasions. But right here, it says that he sprang up. He jumped up, flung off his coat, and ran toward Jesus. And the question might come to our minds, well, he can't see. How did he come to Jesus? Well, he knew what direction that Jesus was in, and that's all he needed to know. So he came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a question. "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, that might seem obvious, right? Jesus, this man is blind. And of course he knows that, but just because Jesus knows what this man needs, it does not mean that he will not give him, or he will give him his sight before he asks for it. He's going to have to ask. I mean, Jesus, doesn't he know what this man needs even before he calls him to him? Couldn't he have just healed him while he was on the roadside? There's no real need for Jesus to call him, is there? But Jesus asked for the man to act in faith, to respond in faith. There's purpose in his asking the question. And Bartimaeus then says to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And again, I said at the very beginning of this message, this really is a very simple story in some ways. Jesus just says him, "Go your way. You're healed. Your faith has made you well." And that's it. But notice with me that Bartimaeus doesn't just go his way. He doesn't just walk away and leave rejoicing that he has his sight back. It says that he followed Jesus on the way. The day that Bartimaeus gained his sight, he became a disciple, and he began to follow Jesus. So back to what we talked about at the beginning. This man is here in Mark's story to teach us something. Not simply that Jesus had the power to heal the blind. We know that. He does those things. Jesus does have that power. The kingdom of God has broken into this world, and we know that the kingdom of God will not have any infirmities, no diseases, no blind people, no crippled, no lame. In the kingdom of God, everyone will be healed, not just of their physical infirmities. They will be healed also of all their spiritual infirmities. And so we know that Jesus has the power and the ability to heal the blind, but Bartimaeus is here to teach us something about discipleship, something about our own hearts and what it means to follow Jesus. So let's start with Jesus' question that he asks to this man. He says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Have we seen that before? Maybe last week. It's the same question that Jesus asks James and John in the passage right before this. Exact same words. They came up to Jesus wanting positions of power. So we know that Mark is making a connection between the brother's request and Bartimaeus' request. Which here is the model disciple? Which illustrates best what it means to know and follow Christ? What did the brothers ask for? They asked for prominence. Bartimaeus asks for mercy. The brothers ask out of pride. Bartimaeus asks out of desperation. This is the beginning of the journey for Bartimaeus, and so it is for the sinner who becomes aware of his or her own spiritual blindness, their neediness. There is nothing that a sinful man can do as he stands before the Lord except ask for mercy. That's it. That's all you've got. You don't bring anything to the equation. There is absolutely nothing in your hands. You will not earn God's favor in any way. He has everything. You have nothing. And you recognize that. There you are standing before the Lord, and you simply said, "God, give me mercy." And that's what Bartimaeus does here. He doesn't begin to tell him his story and why this happened to him and why he's blind and why Jesus should heal him. The litany of excuses and advice or whatever else that could have come out of his mouth, he simply stood before the Lord and said, "Please give me mercy. I have the need. I know you're able to meet it. And you're the only one." This is the sinner's only hope. He knows that everything that he's done has been soaked in sin. And so every bit of his effort then is put into pleading with the Lord to give him mercy in the hope that Jesus will hear his voice, stop, and call on him. Jesus gladly gives mercy to those who beg for it. That's what Bartimaeus teaches us. And God delights to answer when they call on him. That is his heart. And so as the sinner comes to the Lord, there is an understanding that he is a merciful God. He is a loving God. He is a kind God. He overflows in grace and goodness. And you are completely dependent on his character to give that mercy. You have no other plea. Nothing else to do except depend on him to give. I read this passage to you probably a couple of months ago, maybe in a different sermon. It's from Psalm 50. Listen to what it says. It tells us something about God, and it tells us something about those who come to him. It's beautiful. God says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." This, in a sense, poetic song, whatever you want to call it, it defines what our relationship with God really is like. He's saying, if I had a need, I wouldn't tell you, because you can't meet it, but I don't have a need. The earth and its fullness, everything out there, I actually own it. So what are you going to give to me that I need? When you make sacrifices of bulls and goats, you think I drink that stuff? You think my stomach is hungry and I need that meat? I don't need anything from you. I am not a needy God. I overflow constantly for other people who are needy. You. And so this relationship is defined by the fact that I overflow and you have a need. You call on me in the day of trouble. And guess what I love to do? I love to answer you and deliver you so that you will glorify me. Who gets the praise and the glory in that situation? It's always God. We bring nothing to the table. He is not a God that we add anything to. Because we love him, does that mean that he's more lovable? Or, I mean, what do we give to him? Nothing. He gives everything to us. We are beggars. That's what we are. And our begging proves that he is God and we are not. That the one who has everything, owns everything, is willing to take notice of me, little old me. How is it possible that he looks down and he sees me or you and cares about your needs? But he does. And he delights. It is his heart. He loves to give mercy to those who call on him, to acknowledge that you need him and only him, that he is your only source of hope, and you'll call out for mercy, and he says, "I will deliver you, and you will rejoice in me." In human relationships, I think we would all admit that that is not a great place to be in, is it? We prefer the "I scratch your back, you scratch mine" kind of arrangement. We like to be able to offer something in return for what other people give to us, that give and take, so that in the end we can all kind of feel pretty good about ourselves. I did my part, you did your part. I've got some good things to offer here, Lord, is kind of what we want to be able to say, right? There's something in me that's commendable. You should like me and want me on your team. I've got something. And God says to us instead, "I have no holes in me. There is nothing missing here. I have no needs. I own everything. And this arrangement only works when you see that I am overflowing and you are empty." That's the way it works. You have needs, and I'm merciful. You will call upon me in the day of trouble, because I am never going to call upon you, because I don't have a day of trouble, he says. So cry out to me as the beggar that you are, and I will gladly gladly, lovingly deliver you. This is what is happening here with Jesus and this beggar. And this is what must happen with you if you will ever start following Jesus. You've got to acknowledge this. And so, like Bartimaeus, have you ever come to grips with your condition, your sinful condition, and out of absolute desperation, cry out for mercy? Because this is at the heart of salvation. An awakening, light pours in out of darkness to my need for forgiveness. Maybe 15 minutes ago, I'm not aware of that. Maybe I'm not thinking about that. But all of a sudden, I am struck with my emptiness in the presence of a holy God. I must have you, Lord, do something. And if you won't, I am hopelessly lost. Lost. I cannot save myself. I am desperate. Have you ever experienced that? Lord, I must have you act. I have nowhere else to turn. Please deliver me. Help me. Answer me. I have nowhere else to cry to. You are it. Knowing that he is able. Has that ever been your heart? Because that is the heart of Bartimaeus here. That's why he will not shut up. This is his only hope. This is his only chance. The Lord is there. And he will cry out to him. Jesus, my Savior, we must say, have mercy on me. And we trust in Jesus' character that he delights to answer the needy. And because of his love, he will not pass me by. He'll hear your voice. And so we see here that Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus. Will he stop for you? Will you ask him to stop for you? And there may be somebody here today who is listening to this story, and right now your heart is hard. Something in you is inclined to think that you have no need for this. Yeah, I've heard all this stuff before. Let's just get to the end and be done with this. These are fables to you. These are a waste of your time. And yes, I do believe that it takes a moving of God's Spirit to open up your heart, but it still baffles me. Still baffles me to think that a human being cannot see that this right here is your greatest need. The mercy of God. And here it is right in front of you. God delights to give you mercy. And yet there is something in you that says, I will not call on him. I do not need him. And this breaks the heart of God. And so it's as if Jesus comes to us right here and asks this question that he asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And you look him in the face and you say, absolutely nothing. I don't need you. It baffles me. It should be so clear. It should be so simple. But there are spiritual forces at work. There is hardness of heart at work. And people don't want to see. But I ask you this morning, can you not see your Savior here as he deals with this man and what his heart is like? Do you not see him stop for this insignificant person beside the road that day? Will he not stop for you? Do you not see his compassion and his kindness? I don't know about you, but I mean, when I get busy, start to get a little bit stressed, start to run over some people's needs because I got something I've got to accomplish. Look at Jesus here on the road to the cross, all these people collected around him. I've got to imagine there's, at least I'd be stressed in the middle of that crowd. And what does Jesus do? He stops. And he's got time for this man over here that doesn't mean a rip to anybody else in that crowd. But he means something to Jesus. And it is the same way with you and me today. Will Jesus stop for you? I think we see right here, he absolutely will. So will you ask him for mercy? Because Jesus will heal blind beggars right now. And when Jesus heals this man, what does Bartimaeus do? Amazingly, he begins to follow the Lord to Jerusalem. So he's now, for the first time, able to see, but this is just the beginning for him. And he gets right there on the path with all the other disciples and starts to make his way toward the cross. And the same mercy that opened up his eyes before the journey begins will be the mercy that sustains him on that same journey. And he will have to learn that God's mercies are new every day. And brothers and sisters, that is the road that we are on. We are learning day by day that God delights to give us new mercies to sustain us. So no matter where you are, whether this is the first time that you have ever been confronted with your own sinfulness and your own neediness, or you have gone a long way down that road with Jesus, are you willing to admit this morning that you are a beggar and that your Savior loves to give you mercy? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would give us the humble hearts that we need to cry out as beggars for your mercy, and to believe in our heart of hearts by faith that this is your character, that you are full of love and kindness, and you delight to help those who are in need. Jesus shows us this with this man, Bartimaeus. You give us his name. You know every name of every person here and what we need most. And it truly is your mercy and kindness to sinners who are desperate to call out to you. Please give us those hearts and fill them with who you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.